You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. 500 pharmacy technicians remain locked out at Medco, a national mail-order prescription company. United Steelworkers spokesperson Lynn Baker explains why the workers were locked out by the company.
Medco is trying to stay in control of the health care plan, and the union is saying that that needs, any changes need to be negotiated. And we've repeatedly told them that we're unwilling to give up our right to bargain over health care. We want to be able to bargain over any changes in the health care plan and in fact, be able to bargain if the company so desires to cancel that health care plan.
The workers were locked out as they tried to negotiate a fair contract renewal. The National Labor Relations Board has issued a complaint against the company for unlawfully changing employee benefits without negotiating to an impasse with the union. The Steelworkers Union is calling on Nevada Governor Kenny Gwynn and state boards of pharmacy to investigate Medco Health Solutions for using temporary workers who may be unqualified to handle pharmaceuticals. Two different coalitions that together helped organize the recent massive marches for undocumented immigrant worker rights are split now over the call for a May Day boycott of work, school, and all consumer activity. The groups are united on immigration reform that provides some form of legalization, but they don't agree on the boycott. The March 25th Coalition, 100 political and immigrant rights groups, supports the boycott and full immediate legalization. The We Are America Coalition of 125 labor, business, and Roman Catholic groups are urging a rally after work and school on May 1st instead, and it supports a guest worker program and a gradual path to legalization.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible. A cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
On Thursday, the federal government arrested 1,200 undocumented workers, along with seven current and former managers in 26 states at IFCO Systems. According to federal prosecutors, the managers face up to 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine for each illegal immigrant worker. The Greater New Orleans AFL-CIO is planning a workers' rights march there May 2nd. Robert Hammond, president of IBEW Local 130, says New Orleans workers have been shut out of the rebuilding process. Another labor problem, according to Brenda Mitchell, president of the United Teachers of New Orleans, is that the local school district has refused to honor a contract with her 4,700-member union. Here's today's economic report. U.S. working-class family home ownership is falling, according to a study by the Center for Housing Policy. Home ownership among low- to moderate-income families is lower today than it was in 1978. Just 59.6% of working-class families owned homes in 2003, the most recent year for which figures are available, compared to 62.5% in 1978. It's another sign of the serious impact stagnating wages and rising costs for health care are having on family budgets. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good evening. Broadcasting live from a rocking chair. This is a new one. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. It's Friday night. Yeah, it's kind of like my Tuesday, but so I got to get through the weekend, I guess. But I'm awfully glad to be back up and running, and things, cross your fingers, click your heels, whatever. Things appear to be going swimmingly. Agnes tells me she was up learning engineering on the fly till about 3 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, and it appears to have paid off grandly. Thank you, darling. I do appreciate it, and God knows I miss you and the girls something fierce. Well, the couple, you know, every now and then, and you know, while I'm down here, I'm having to do a little bit more than my usual amount of running around. Usually I camp out and try to absorb information almost all day long, just in, you know, an info sponge. That's me. But today I'm running around, and of course, you know, I'm, from past experience, we know that I'm a talk radio junkie, so I've got it. Well, I was listening to the station that I used to program many, 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 many years ago when dinosaurs roamed the earth and my hair was more blonde than white. And I caught the ABC News top of the hour so-called newscast. And in that newscast, and I'm sure you've heard the audio or seen the video by now from yesterday's officials, well, was it official state greeting? There's still some debate between the dear leader of the U.S. and the dear leader of China as to whether the two dear leaders meeting is an actual, honest-to-God, official visit or not. But when the hugs went down, when the thing occurred that, like I mentioned last night, the wonderful headline, President Greets Who at White House? I don't know. Third base! He was heckled. Who was heckled? You're damn right who he was. See how easy it is? Who was heckled by a follower of the Falun Gong religious weirdo sect? Yeah, I don't care. Fundamentalists and just the faith, that brainless monkeys of any stripe I hold in contempt. Sorry, but that's how it is. But she stood up and said, President Hu, where? President Hu, your days are numbered. President Bush, why won't you make him quit persecuting Falun Gong? Or something like that. I don't want Falun Gong to be persecuted. Who cares? Oh, see? Who doesn't care? Well, who cares? But this could be difficult. At any rate, so I'm listening to the ABC top of the hour newscast with some babbling woman who said questions, you know, and it's always in the breathy top of the hour style, you know, that the network's like, questions are being asked about how a woman such as that could possibly have been credentialed to attend this reception and meeting. After all, she had ties to Falun Gong. And Dad was in the vehicle with me, as was our son, Agnes and my son. But I laughed out loud, and they both looked at me like I had two heads. And what? What is it? I said, well, you know, they're amazed. How could that woman have possibly been credentialed so that she could get in there and heckle the dear leaders? It was terrible. It was just, it could have led to a worldwide conflagration. But you've already, now that I've mentioned it, you've already gone, or if you heard it earlier, I bet you went where I was. How could they possibly have credentialed that awful, awful woman? Well, the answer is, answer the question with a question. How did they let Jimmy Jeff Ganny Gucker, whatever, hot military stud for you, how did they let him into White House press briefings 160 times? How did they manage to credential a gay hooker at the White House? How did that happen? The only difference being that Jimmy Jeff wasn't heckling. We don't know exactly what Jimmy Jeff was doing or whom he was doing it with. but he was doing something, because what he was doing wasn't journalism. So I flashed on that, and they're having such a conniption about this woman who was speaking up. We are, after all, that, you know, I maintain no illusions about communist China. No illusions whatsoever. I understand what's at stake. And these are not, you know, President who? What? Third base. No, that's second. President who does not love freedom? President who does not have a conception of democracy anything remotely resembling what we would recognize as freedom, or freedom of speech, or freedom of assembly? None of that. None of that exists in the Chinese model. The Chinese model basically calls for world dominion. Period. Easy. Okay. Right. Yeah. Sure. Now, I don't want to go and bomb anybody. I'm not gonna. By the way, if you listen to any of these right-wing freaks anymore, whatever happened to the Chi-coms? The Chi-coms. Whatever became of them? Rush Limbaugh, during the Clinton administration, he couldn't go a day without, "My friends, the Clinton administration is in bed with the Chi-coms. The communist Chinese are aimed to take over America." Whatever happened to that line of rhetoric? Please? I don't know. So now it turns out that this woman has been charged. This heckler has been charged in federal freaking court today with the crime of harassing, intimidating, or threatening a foreign official. Got that? We have a law on the books here in the United States of America that it is a crime to harass, intimidate, or threaten a foreign official. Now, I sort of run out on a limb, or I get a little esoteric legally from time to time. But how are they going to convict this woman without President who? What? Second base? I don't know. Third. How are they going to convict her? Because clearly she is charged with harassing, intimidating, or threatening a foreign official. Aren't those all subjective states of mind? Aren't we going to have President who, what, when, where, why, how, and how much on the stand testifying that, yes, he, the leader of communist China, with a
Can you imagine a world without children? A world without their smiles or their laughter? A world where children don't play or sing or dream or imagine?
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, we can't imagine a world without children. That's why we're working every day to find cures for diseases that strike down children everywhere. Diseases like cancer, pediatric AIDS, and sickle cell. And we won't stop until every child is cured and every disease is defeated. Because we can't imagine a world without children. Can you?
Finding cures, saving children. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. To learn how you can help, call 1-800-931-0800 or log on to our website, stjude.org.
In the beginning, there was dirt, water, and air.
And it was good. Once,
Planet Check. With gas prices skyrocketing at the pump, there is a cheap renewable alternative fuel.
Rudolph Diesel actually designed the diesel engine to run on vegetable oil over 100 years ago.
A diesel engine that runs on used vegetable oil?
We get the used vegetable oil from fast food restaurants.
It's called biodiesel.
I got a biodiesel van.
Joshua Tickle, author of From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, explains.
Biodiesel is a clean-burning diesel fuel that's actually made from vegetable oil. It's usable in any diesel engine. You don't have to modify the engine. You just pour biodiesel right into it.
Pour some veggie fuel into that tank.
The environmental benefits of biodiesel are that it's cleaner, it's healthy for humans, plants, and animals.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Want to know one of the best ways to help kids do better in school? Hi, I'm Patty Austin. I visit a lot of schools both at home and when I'm on the road, and I hear too many students say, school's boring. And I say to them, what about music class? You know, learning music opens up the mind like nothing else. Performing in a school music ensemble is fun and challenging for kids. It encourages creativity while instilling self-discipline. And learning music even develops something called spatial IQ, which helps students tackle the challenges of other subjects like math and science. Some night this week, sit down as a family and play your kids some music you really love. Then listen to what your kids like and compare notes. Even better, sit down at the piano and sing some songs together. Help your kids learn to love music.
A PSA brought to you by MEMC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. March is Music in Our Schools Month.
Now, where was I? I'm Bob sorry for the glitch there. We will make it. We'll make this work. You know, this is what you get when you work on the cutting edge of technology. There is nobody else out there doing what we're doing right now, which is pretty cool on our part, I think you have to say. This is Head On for a Friday night. I hope you're up for a little Friday night fun and carrying on and ruckus raising and whatnot, that kind of thing. The phone number, you know that. It's 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. Email flies, it flies, I tell you, into my email box at bob@headonradio.com. Andy is with us. It's Friday night, so it's got to be Andy. It's got to be Wales. Hey, Andy, good to talk to you, brother. How are you?
I'm all right, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, if I can just keep this cotton-picking voice-over IP thing going.
Yeah, right now, yeah, it's a bit sketchy. But, hey, you know, it's the gremlins in the system, man. They're always there.
Right. Let me start out, Andy, by wishing the Queen a happy 80th.
Oh, well, on behalf of the Queen, thank you very much. I'm not exactly a royalist myself, but I can think of worse systems than constitutional monarchies.
Yeah, I can, too. I mean...
Well, yours springs to mind.
Well, you know, there are those who might say that, you being one of them.
And, well, yeah, I mean, like,
I got real problems with it too myself.
At least we don't have that electoral college nonsense where they can go, no, I didn't like what the people said. Give it to the other guy.
Yeah, So what? Yeah. So what if you lost by 50, 60, 100,000, 200,000 votes?
Several million votes.
We'll give it to the little spoiled rich kid.
Yeah. But hey, yeah. No. The Queen seems to have had a very successful day. Everybody. I've got to admit, it's the most turned out royal event I've kind of spotted. You know, I mean, they were doing stuff down here in Wales, and Wales is probably one of the more Republican parts of the UK. And
she seems like a decent sort.
Well, yeah, she's not too bad. You know, I mean, the royal family, they're fairly amiable. I mean, we've got some great characters. The Queen's just solid. I mean, like, you know, she can be ill and you know, broken wrist, and it's raining, and she'll still stand there for 4.5 hours instead of 20 minutes because she wants to make sure everybody he turned up to see her gets to see her, as it were. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was only a few years ago. She was stood in the pouring rain outside some stately home watching people drive past for about, I think it was about 6 hours in vintage cars. And she was supposed to be there for a half hour.
Well, you know, George Bush won't even show up for a Boy Scout jamboree when it's raining.
No, well, George Bush won't even turn up if there's an opportunity for somebody who disagrees with him to turn up, will he? He's a coward.
Well, you know, apparently he's scared to death of the little Chinese ladies.
Oh, well, oh, yeah, George Bush is a fool. I mean, it would be better if you had an amiable old buffer type of fool, because, I mean, we've got Prince Philip for that role, the Queen's husband. He goes to China, right, and I kid you not, okay, he said, after looking at a section of railway that had just been built, he said, oh, my goodness, looks like it had been built by bloody Indians. Can you believe that? Can you believe somebody did that? I mean,
at least he didn't say wogs.
Well, yeah, at least he didn't say that. Yeah, I mean, you know, the humor available from members of the royal family is immeasurable, and that's one reason to keep them. You know?
Well, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing. Good Queen Bess Part Two seems to have had her own personal dignity. It's in that child raising department that she seems to have fallen short.
Well, yeah, you can't really blame her for the kids on the whole. Though,
well, yeah,
you?
That's the royal nanny's fault.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, the Queen was too busy to raise her children. She was doing stuff for the Empire and then Commonwealth. Because, I mean, you remember, when she took the throne, we still technically had an empire.
Right.
You know?
She has presided over profound changes in Britannia.
Yeah, absolutely. But, no, she seems to be doing all right. There are people around talking about changing, getting her to step down because she's now 80 and, you know, let Prince Charles have his go and all this sort of stuff. Personally, I'm not too bothered.
The way it looks to me, the rules are what the rules are, and I'm sorry if Prince Charles is getting on in years. The rules say you get the job when the one in front of you shuffles off this mortal coil.
Well, yeah, I mean, the problem here is that Charles married a divorcee and is divorced himself, and while the Church of England's fairly open on that, technically he can't become the head of state of the country in the Church of England because he is a divorcee. So, in theory, the crown should pass straight to William when the Queen dies.
Which might not be such a bad idea either, because when you
for the getting him back into the country as a sort of, you know, getting people connected again, it would be a great thing, I think. I mean, personally, I'd prefer to see William do it because he seems like a nice enough young man, you know.
Well, yeah, and what did I just read about him not too long back?
You'll have to come up with it because we read so much about him over here.
Was it his graduation or?
Oh, right. Well, Harry was the one who did something most recently, graduating. But William graduated a couple of years ago, I think.
Okay, maybe it was Harry from Sandhurst, perhaps.
Yeah, or? Yeah. He just passed out of the military academy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But a couple of years before that, William came out of some university up in Scotland, St Andrews, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, up until that point, he'd been kind of hidden from the press quite luckily, because his life would have been ruined, you know.
Well, you know, showing up for the costume party in the Nazi uniform.
Oh, that was Harry. Yeah, no, Harry's a fool. He's the younger one. We don't want him to take the throne. But apparently he might end up in Iraq.
Oh, I did see that. You know, and there's that little sense of noblesse oblige that, you know, sometimes with great power and great wealth comes great obligation.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's the spare as well, so to be honest with you, you know, I mean, we have the heir, we have the spare, so the spare can be risked. for the sake of the morale of the army. So it's a tradition of the royal family. Sorry if you're born second in your mail, but there
right.
you go.
It is worth remembering, Andy, that that Henry VIII was the spare.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, when you go back that far in our monarchy, it's a bit tortured. I mean, we had a new monarch every couple of hundred years, a new dynasty had come in. Yeah, I mean, I've got to admit that this one's going to be the most sort of sustainable. I think is going to be this monarchy. But but anyway, enough of them.
Yeah, sure.
Biodiesel. You were talking about it yesterday.
Right.
I'm a bit of an amateur expert on biodiesel because I did have ambitions to start my own little company of it. Unfortunately, over here, if you want to start a company that's to do with green energy, go throw yourself off the nearest cliff. If you want to start a hairdressing salon, hey, here's 10 grand. So, I did a lot of research and found out I can't do anything without the support of, like, Big Oil, yeah? And over here, Big Oil is BP, so, you
sure.
know. But, yeah, biodiesel. Depending on what you make it from depends on the particular emissions, yeah? But even
sure.
assuming you make it from the dirtiest sort of biodiesel, which is, as you say, cooking fat from, like, McD's and stuff,
mm-hmm.
It's still, like, only a tenth of the particulate pollution that diesel is. And the particulate matter isn't sulfurs and stuff like that. It's not quite as nasty to breathe in anyway.
Right.
So it's cleaner by orders of magnitude. I mean, it's cleaner than petrol. You know, I mean, it produces less particulate matter than the cleanest of petrols.
Right, and I heard something today, Andy. Again, driving around, listening to the talk radio, that fool Rush Limbaugh talking about people spending $2,000 to convert their diesel automobiles to run on biodiesel.
You don't spend any money at all.
That's a lie, because I know that the Volkswagens and the Mercedes and things like that roll off the factory floor biodiesel
ready. Yeah, any German car that's a diesel takes biodiesel without any problems because they sell it in Germany.
Right.
It's like every forecourt has either biodiesel or the hydrogen fuels that they're experimenting with. There's no conversion price. The only thing that is a problem is a certain range of American diesels. Because their fuel injector systems get clogged up with the difference, because basically the fuel injectors are designed to run with really heavy, thick, greasy particles, and this stuff's all really light, and the design of the fuel injector means that it gets impacted at the back of the injector and builds up and blocks it,
yes.
instead of just kind of sludging through like thick, greasy American diesel used to. So it's a design flaw of the vehicles is what he's talking about, and yeah, it doesn't cost like $2,000 or whatever. It costs a couple hundred bucks for a new fuel injector.
Yeah.
You could probably just go to a scrapyard, get a wrecked one off a Volkswagen, okay, and slap it on, it'll work. I mean,
yeah,
you know, if you're serious about biodiesel, then it's not, if you can get it, use it, because it is great stuff, and it's so much cheaper as well.
That's the thing, Andy, there are so many, on the right wing over here, these people are such shameless prostitutes, and that's no slur on sex workers.
Hell no.
They're shameless prostitutes for the oil industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Rush Limbaugh worth millions and millions of dollars. Well, I'm sure quite a lot of that comes from the bung he's paid by people like the pharmaceutical industry and the big oil industry to promote their line, which is fascism is good. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's the curse of the modern age. I mean, you know, like I phoned up loads of companies over here looking to see what, you know, what truck companies would have biodiesel, all this sort of stuff. And basically, the insurance companies have stepped in now as the last line of defense for the oil companies and said, no, we're not insuring your engines if you use biodiesel because we're not sure about the damage it will do to your engine.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding at all. If they put more than 5% biofuel in, they have to use a 95 to 5% mix in favor of diesel. That's the most biodiesel you can have in the UK. And you know what they're doing to anybody that makes it at their own house and puts it in their own tractor or their own 4x4, say some farmer?
Yo, drop the coverage.
Oh, no. That doesn't even happen. They get banged up for tax evasion.
What?
Well, you
for
see...
For refusing to buy...
Petrol.
State?
Basically, they say that
because
they're producing it themselves, they could sell it themselves, and they're not paying any VAT to the tax man, so bang, tax evasion, you're in prison for 15 years or something. You know, one threat of that, and the farmer has to stop making it.
You know, that's so pathetic, because the messages we run, there's a lot of truth in them. Professor Diesel really did design his stuff to run on biologically produced oils.
Yeah, and do you know what the base produce was going to be for it?
What?
Hemp.
Well, of course.
Because, you see, out of 1 acre of hemp, you get 8 times as much oil as 1 acre of hemp rapeseed oil.
I'll be darned.
If you want to turn hemp into paper, you get 4 times as much paper as you do for an acre of tree. Any given tree.
Yeah, but some, you know, somebody might smoke that.
No, it's hemp. You can't smoke it. It doesn't do anything.
I know, but again, it's like the same right-wing lies that we get about the so-called biodiesel. Oh, you know, we can't be farming hemp. You know, all the farmers would be all stoned and stuff, and then they'd never get their crops in.
Like the farmers aren't growing their own anyway. They're growing a hell of a lot stronger than hemp, man. You believe me.
Well, speaking of that, though, Andy, did a study, or the Food and Drug Administration came out today and really put their foot in it.
Mm-hmm.
They issued a report saying, it is our formal declaration that there is no medical purpose, no medical benefit whatsoever to marijuana.
But they've lied. That's a lie.
We've got a 1999 government declaration, a government study. You know, it's like, well, this benefit and this benefit and this benefit and this benefit.
Well, I mean, even if you just go to Holland and ask the MS sufferers whether or not it's had any medical benefit, I mean, there's thousands and thousands of independent studies that haven't been anything to do with even the United States that have proved it. So, you know, they just decided to say something and said, no, this is going to be the truth from now on.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's absolutely astounding that you would. But after all, you got to remember, after 9/11, what did John Ashcroft go after? Did he go after Osama bin Laden? No, he went after Tommy Chong and an online company called Chong's Bongs. Tommy Chong, Cheech and Chong, went to prison.
I know.
Pipes on the internet.
Well, it's because he's obviously, like, deeply offended by that guy, because he's probably watched Cheech and Chong up in smoke and thought, I want to do that. Why am I in such a stuffy job? I want to... Right, that's it. I'm going to have him. First opportunity. And
well,
the General Declaration of Martial Law that effectively occurred straight after 9/11, which was done by the government, I'd like to point out for Agent Fred. Not my government, not anybody else's government. The U.S. government, Agent Fred. The U.S. government. Sorry, Bob, back on topic.
No, it's quite all right. You know, I have a sneaking suspicion that part of the reason that Ashcroft went after Tommy Chong, if you've ever watched the Up in Smoke movies, you remember Sergeant Stadenko?
Yeah.
A really geeky cop that's always chasing him around and winds up ripped out of his brains because the van catches fire. I think John Ashcroft felt like Sergeant Stadenko was persecuted by Cheech and Chong.
He probably identifies deeply with that character. Uptight, you know, just totally repressed sexually, mentally, and physically. And,
you know what you want from a guy who's scared to death of calico cats. Oh, Jesus, get it away!
Yeah, well, no, it kind of sums up the whole attitude of that entire administration. I mean, you know, anything that they can't just absolutely control straight away, then you've got to either make it illegal or pitch everyone interfering it, and then you can, you know, destroy or control it. It's
right.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely
if they
ridiculous.
Can't, if they can't steal it or screw it, they want to,
yeah, know. Yeah, break it.
Yeah.
Of course you were going to say that.
Yeah. Gotta watch it, you know. Sometimes I slip up. Things are going well for you, though, I trust.
Yeah, not too bad at the moment. Not
well,
too bad.
Tell me, how did the dance go down that you were DJing?
Oh, it went down amazingly. I haven't sent it to you yet because we've had some problems with recording. We actually only got one channel, but it's okay. We got the whole performance. Just we got to split it and master it so it's doubled up for people to get it in stereo. Otherwise, you'll only have it coming out of one speaker.
I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Sorry.
I'm looking forward to hearing it.
No, I'll get it sent over to you. I've got to go and pick it up tomorrow, so I'll get it mailed off from my friend's account again, because it's quite large, but we'll send it in sort of 5 parts, so you can just post it up like that. But it went really well. It was interesting, because I don't normally start an evening. I normally finish it, because I play quite sort of hard techno. And it was quite fun to sort of start off and go all light and sort of progress through things and get heavier towards the end. So, no, it was good fun. It went down quite well, and the crowd loved it. I've also managed to get myself 2 more gigs out of it. A couple of people came up and said, come and play at my night. So.
Hey, excellent.
Yeah, I'm really, really, really impressed with that. So.
Well, as well you should be. I look forward to hearing it, and we'll play some of it during the show.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. Okay, cool, man. Well, yeah, I'll get it sent over to you, man, as soon as possible. And, I don't know, we'll, maybe you can mail Ed CDs to you or something. You can give them to people if they want it.
That would be great. I tell you what, Andy, we got to roll along. Have yourself a great weekend, all
will
right?
Will do. You too, man. Love to Agnes.
All right. Good
Take
deal.
Care, mate.
Bye now.
Bye.
Okay, let's keep things rolling. Everything's working. I'm so happy. Jim is with us.
Hello?
Hey, Jim. Yeah, hey, Jim. Can you hear a little better tonight?
Not too much, but just a little bit.
Well, good.
Just a little bit. Wait a minute, Rupert. Don't hotbox that thing. Just a minute. I'm trying to teach this cat how to smoke something here.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, don't bogart it either. You know, I agree with what Andy said. It's ridiculous with the policies on hemp and stuff like that. Because, I mean, this stuff is really, well, the trouble with these people who are so against it, they just never really had a good high. That's
well,
their problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and see, that's what you're dealing with this bunch. You know, this is the half a pack of Marlboros and Martini crowd, and that'll get you mean.
Well, you know, I don't understand the FDA's position on it, and I don't understand all these positions on the growing of hemp because, as he pointed out, there are many uses for hemp, and it was grown back in other days past, but. All that aside, and this is, I'm not trying to be a spokesman for normal, but I do believe it should be legalized, and I'll say no more. But I will say this in honor of my mother country, God Save the Queen, and I always had a great deal of respect for her father and the youth groups that he would try to assemble before the war. George VI was an extremely egalitarian person in his own way. And he wanted to get young boys together in his scout camps from 30 to 30, 31 to 39 till the war broke out. And it had a lot of good influence on young men. And the royal family, in my opinion, and I'm at heart a royalist, Bob. I've got to tell you that. I'm a closet royalist, and so I'm coming out of that closet, okay?
Okay.
And, you know, I just believe in it, and I can't imagine England without the royal family.
Well, I mean, they tried it a couple of times, and it just didn't work out.
I know it, like with Oliver
Cromwell,
not so much. And some of those other people, and they cut down all the maypoles, and they put people's heads on poles. So I prefer to have the maypoles and people having a good time in the restoration spirit of Charles II, okay?
Exactly, and you've got to recognize a nation with a monarchy that has a good enough sense of humor that they can celebrate Guy Fawkes Day.
Right, exactly. And moving on, this thing with the Bush and his Chinese heckler. I loved his opening speech. Now, this country and China are separated by a great body of water. I thought to myself, what the is this? Weekly
yeah,
Leader?
I know. It was, yeah. Ranger Rick.
I used to give my nephew stuff like this when he was a kid. Ranger Rick or Weekly Reader or whatever. And then, when they announced the name of the country, they gave the name of Taiwan, not the People's Republic. And it was just all snared up to a complete snafu.
Well, and again, we've got a statute now, Jim. We've got a statute about harassing, intimidating, or threatening a foreign leader?
I certainly do. It's a matter of
how are you going to make it stick?
Now, it could get 6 months.
Yeah, how are you going to make it stick?
Well, I think these people can pretty much do what they want to. And they're
going
to probably...
He was interviewed
by Wolf Blitzer tonight on CNN. And, you know, she was just basically expounding... on the same thing that Bush was telling the guys that they needed to have more freedom of expression. And then, of course, she was hauled away. I mean, she didn't have any type of weapon or anything on her except her tongue and her brain. And that's not a weapon. That's a means of expressing oneself. And
I couldn't help wondering, Jim, if maybe whatever her name is translates out in Mandarin or whatever to Cindy Sheehan. The way they dragged her out.
Well, it's the same type of principle. Now, the poor woman was under stress, and when I first saw her face, I said, good Lord, there's Chairman Mao again. But, I mean, when I saw her tonight on television, she was a little more relaxed and under less pressure. But it took a lot of courage for her to get up there and say that. And, you know, this Chinese president is no man to fool around with, and he's not a very pleasant person to get on the wrong side of, you know?
Well, right, and I think George Bush is trying to make sure he stays on the right side. Yeah.
Well, I think George Bush has lost it because it was a very cool reception. I mean, they had a luncheon, which was business suit, and then they did not have a state dinner. And obviously, you know, it was a extremely strained type of meeting. And, of course, guess who the man came to see first before coming to see George Bush?
Bill Gates.
Well, I'm sure Bush didn't like that particularly well either.
Well, they couldn't even decide whether this was a state
visit or not. I mean, I guess he came to see one of the real rulers of the country. I don't know, in his estimation.
But they couldn't decide whether this was a state visit or not. I wasn't kidding. There was an argument between the two state departments or whatever as to whether this was an official state visit. That's why there was no state dinner.
Well, you know, they've had enough occasions of state to know when the head of a foreign country is coming over and to know which protocol to follow. So I'm sure that they were directed because of certain disagreements and this, that, and the other to sort of show give him the cool side of the avenue and not really, you know, make it a fully blown state occasion, because I've never heard of anything like that with a person visiting from China, you know, coming to visit and not being accorded those honors. But, you know, when he saw Bill Gates first and then came to see George second, that clinched it right there, I'm sure.
That's just my opinion.
Are you still in Alabama?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, I hope things are doing okay there. And I hope that
well, we went to the hospital today for a test.
I beg your pardon, sir.
We went to the hospital today for a test for my dad, and then we go to the doctor's office again on Monday and try to find out what the next step is.
Well, let's hope that you have some positive results and they're encouraging. It's a day-to-day thing, you know.
It's
hope against hope, and that's all there is to it, you know. That's just the way of it at this kind of time.
Yeah.
And any other things I wanted to talk about? I didn't quite understand the petrochemical discussion that you and Andy had over in the UK, but anyway, it's interesting that it was pointed out by you that Rudolf Diesel, when he designed the diesel engine, designed it for organic-type fuel and not petrochemicals.
Yes, and in fact, Henry Ford had the same ideas, Jim. The only reason that they opted for petrochemicals is because petrochemicals were incredibly cheap. They were far, far cheaper than any of the organic-based fuels that they had contemplated.
Absolutely. Well, we'll just wait and see. This energy crisis is not going to help the Bush regime very much either. And
I expect, Jim, that we will see $100 a barrel gasoline, what, by June?
Well, it's already at 72. So,
right.
I mean, that's
well, it hit 75 today.
And then now they've got to transition from winter to summer gasoline, which means they've got to close some stations and clean out tanks and things of that nature. So it's going to be people are going to be less peripatetic this summer than they have been in the past.
I think you're very much correct.
My closing note, I enjoyed hearing Robert Palmer. I haven't heard that in a long time. That was a good choice, Agnes. I always liked him. God rest his soul. But I always thought that was one of my favorite videos during my more halcyon days in the 80s when, you know, I used to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Well, Jim, I thank you very much, and you have yourself a wonderful weekend, all right?
Well, I'm going to try to, and my cat's a shady lady, and Rupert Brooks, so send and we'll
all right,
see you later.
All right, appreciate it. Take care.
All right, good night.
Bye now. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take a quick break. This is Head On. You know how to reach the program, 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. Anything you've got on your mind, it's open line every day here, because it's the what comes next quality of it all that makes it so much fun. A discussion of the monarchy, a discussion of biodiesel. Jim brought us contemplations of what we're facing in a matter of the next few months. Who knows what's next? Jump right in. You're welcome to. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds useless. Who are people gonna rise up and get their share? Who are people gonna rise up and take what's there?
The president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of six U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send... something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of my grandmother is also my lover or something like that. Oh, that's just a...
Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
It's Grace.
We're actually very boring people, Rama. That's why we call ourselves homebodies.
Well, it's Rama.
Be sure. I mean, group sets for us is when we're both involved.
That's a crap.
It's really, really smart.
We're a nice little Petri dish here in Vermont because you can experiment.
Join Grace and Rama, homebodies, every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the web at homebodies.ramabahama.net.
Roseanne Cash. Love that song. About 1981 or so. Welcome back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Enjoying a Friday. It's kind of rainy here tonight. First rain we've had in a while. Had some thunderstorms go through, but nothing to fear here because we don't have the terrified Chihuahua line. No. This one actually appears to work. And God knows I'm grateful. Let's go back to the phones. David is with us calling from Maine. Hey, David, you're Head On.
How you doing, Bob?
Doing good. Sorry about last night, man. I wasn't trying to blow you off.
No, that's all right. Like I was telling Agnes, my phone is a Radio Shack one. It has limited batteries when you leave it off the charger for a little bit, and there's no way I could have made the calls anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. First thing I want to do is I want to give major respect to Neil Young for his Living with War record. I don't know if you heard about it.
I've heard about it. I haven't heard it itself.
Well, basically, the single coming out is Impeach the President. He was on CNN, and he stated his case pretty magnificently. He actually derided the broadcasters tried to sabotage him with some questions. He actually caught her off guard. Well, she was just trying to say, well, don't you think this will upset people? And, you know, it's that kind of game. Well, I like feeling sympathetic for the other side or something.
Well, I mean, that shouldn't be anything foreign to Neil. You know, after all, you know, there's Ohio.
I know, but then there's also the fact that he's... It plays into the prejudice of America because he's a Canadian, you know.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on and on.
No, sure it does. And I guess they probably didn't bother to remember, did they, the fact that, Neil came out in favor of George Bush after 9/11, didn't he?
I think he was on the... I think that's what people try to point him as, but I think what he wanted to do is he just wanted to say, well, he just told the story of the, what he thought happened in the airplane, and we're really not sure what happened to Flight 93. Sounds to me like a Pat Tillman story, if you ask me.
Yeah, and I saw a quote from Pat Tillman's mother, who said they tried to embrace Pat when they thought it would help them, and then they turned around wiping their feet on him. I'm getting the idea maybe she's pretty much in the same zone that Cindy Sheehan's in.
You know, I think with the whole thing with everybody trying to... I mean, this is one of the problems I have with the whole Illuminati aspect of everything. It would be so easy to plan something. It's so simple and whatnot. If we did have a complete secret society working together, why would they choose Pat Tillman and any of these things? I mean, they could set up a bomb in numerous cities and whatnot.
Sure.
I think more of it has to do with the fact that people just become mad hatters when they get in office, and they do not know how to they know how to win the elections, like what people say, but they don't know how to govern at all.
Well, I think there's a certain element of truth in that, David. The other thing is that when you get to that level of power, no matter how rich you are, no matter how sort of powerful in the business world you may have been, when you get that level of political power, it is an entirely different creature. We were talking about drugs and stuff earlier. It's like it's the difference in buzz between 3-2 beer and pure grain alcohol.
Well, what I can say to this is a perfect segue. Because you just mentioned drugs, and I think you're going to laugh at this story, and I think everybody needs to hear it. Aircraft owner in 5.5-ton cocaine bust includes Tom DeLay appointee.
I saw something about that. What are the details on that, David?
Basically, what happened is the people who own this airplane and whatnot, this is so stupid, it's beyond crazy. They had the seal for the on the plane when they landed. They had the seal that said Skyway Aircraft, Protection of America's Skies. They made it look like a presidential seal or a government seal.
Oh my God!
On the plane, but it gets better. You know how they smuggle the drugs? This is just beyond stupid. And this is why people. I'm going to tell you right now. This is why Rove and all these people, they don't know how to handle or how to do things stealthily. And if you keep following everything, they don't know how to do it because they're stupid. Point blank, they just have a basic plan and they think, oh, it's all going to work out. And they get an adrenaline. This is why I think they also do this. They get an adrenaline rush because they go, I might get caught. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the funniest thing about this whole thing was, guess what the registered owner name of the company was?
I can't wait.
Royal Sons.
Royal what?
Royal Sons. but it gets better.
But where did it go down, David?
In Mexico. I saw some of the pictures of the bust. It looks pretty not inconspicuous at all. I mean, the funniest part about it. I mean, this is why I was getting to this. The stupidity of everybody in the Republican Party. Is, or maybe the naiveness, whatever it is, naiveness, ignorance, whatever. They've seen too many Hollywood movies, and this is a perfect example of that. All of the suitcases were out in the open, Bob, and they all said, and you know how they prevented it so nobody would look in the suitcases?
No.
They all were lettered private.
Yeah, don't peek. Do not open till Christmas.
I mean, how stupid. I mean, I would be afraid.
Well, who was the appointee, David?
You know, that's an interesting question. The guy's name is, I believe, it's Brent Kovar, maybe? Or Congressman Tom DeLay, Majority Leader, has appointed Brent C. Kovar to serve as the Honorary Chairman, Business Advisory Council. And basically, this article, which is done by Daniel Hopsicker, of course, on Bill Hicks' website. Where else are you going to find something like this?
Sure.
And it goes into detail about the airplanes. One of the most interesting aspects is the airport is owned by infamous flight school, Huffman Aviation.
Huffman Aviation, isn't that the gang where some of the 9/11 pilots trade?
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. Maybe it's a coincidence or whatnot, or maybe it's just a perfect like drug trafficking area.
Well, so I don't think this bunch has coincidences, David.
Yeah, I know. I you know what? Maybe everybody's just a big time drug trafficker. I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't doubt this terrorist thing. You know, that's an interesting aspect. I don't think anybody's talked about. I think this terrorist thing maybe could have been a serious drug networking traffic gone wrong or something.
Well, I don't think you can avoid making at least inquiry along some of those lines, David, when you consider that, what was it, May of 2001, the leaders of the Taliban were brought to Washington, D.C. They were given $43 million because of their successful opium eradication program in Afghanistan. Yeah, that's, you know, the Taliban. The guys were killing. And then they were brought in and said, look, we want to, you know, you get a taste. It's like has been noted before. Hey, kid, the first one's free, you know. Yeah, here's $43 million. We got millions more. And the phrase that was bandied about, and I can't remember where I first read it, but I remember hearing about it early on. We told the Taliban, we will give you a carpet of gold or a carpet of bombs. You choose. And of course, and of course, now the Taliban is gone, and Afghanistan is producing a record bumper crop of heroin. And it is so naked, and it is so brazen, and so open that they are trademarking and stamping. They're stamping the heroin with little logos from which particular factory it came from. That's what the narcs are seeing when they're making these heroin busts on the street in New York and Chicago and Philly and points elsewhere.
I think that it's like once you get involved into it and you get into politics and you realize that drug trafficking plays a major role in a lot of governments, there's nothing you can do. And it just becomes apparent that you just have to play along with it and just pretend it doesn't exist on your end of it.
Yeah, there's definitely a history, David, because after all, remember the name Eugene Hassenfuss?
He was one of the
CIA operatives who was, I believe, shot down during the Nicaraguan Contra affair with a plane load of cocaine. A CIA plane load of cocaine. We were flying guns and money down to the Contras and flying cocaine back to the United States. And a very decent and noted journalist for the San Jose Mercury News brought all this to light. And he was tormented from that day forward until he committed suicide a couple of years ago. David, thanks so much. I hope you have a great weekend. We got to hit the top of the hour.
No problem, Bob. I also wanted to say I sent you a song. An exclusive song to play on the air by this guy who was in Miles' band. His last year of his life, and he doesn't release any albums or anything, but he usually sends me music because he trusts me, and I kind of distribute to people, so I'm kind of like a music promoter in a way with his stuff. And I guess you guys will be the first ones to play it on the air and it's in your mailbox right now.
Okay, I'm looking for it here. I'll try to find it. Double check though, would you please?
It's from my name on the non-pander.
Okay, I'll look for it.
All right.
Take care, David.
Bob.
You too.
Later.
Bye now. And we'll be back after the news. Lines are open. Feel free to jump in if you're so inclined. 877, the number 4, head on 877-443-2366, and email, of course, to bob@headonradio.com.
I'm excited to go looking for this song. We will be back. I'm Bob.
The rope that's wrapped around me is cutting through my skin, and the doubts that I've surrounded me.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. 500 pharmacy technicians remain locked out at Medco, a national mail-order prescription company. United Steelworkers spokesperson Lynn Baker explains why the workers were locked out by the company.
Medco is trying to stay in control of the health care plan, and the union is saying that any changes need to be negotiated. And we've repeatedly told them that we're unwilling to give up our right to bargain over health care. We want to be able to bargain over any changes in the health care plan and in fact, be able to bargain if the company so desires to cancel that health care plan.
The workers were locked out as they tried to negotiate a fair contract renewal. The National Labor Relations Board has issued a complaint against the company for unlawfully changing employee benefits without negotiating to an impasse with the union. The Steelworkers Union is calling on Nevada Governor Kenny Gwynn and state boards of pharmacy to investigate Medco Health Solutions for using temporary workers who may be unqualified to handle pharmaceuticals. Two different coalitions that together helped organize the recent massive marches for undocumented immigrant worker rights are split now over the call for a May Day boycott of work, school, and all consumer activity. The groups are united on immigration reform that provides some form of legalization, but they don't agree on the boycott. The March 25th Coalition, 100 political and immigrant rights groups, supports the boycott and full immediate legalization. The We Are America Coalition of 125 labor, business, and Roman Catholic groups are urging a rally after work and school on May 1st instead, and it supports a guest worker program and a gradual path to legalization.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
On Thursday, the federal government arrested 1,200 undocumented workers, along with seven current and former managers in 26 states at IFCO Systems. According to federal prosecutors, the managers face up to 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine for each illegal immigrant worker. The Greater New Orleans AFL-CIO is planning a workers' rights march there May 2nd. Robert Hammond, president of IBEW Local 130, says New Orleans workers have been shut out of the rebuilding process. Another labor problem, according to Brenda Mitchell, president of the United Teachers of New Orleans, is that the local school district has refused to honor a contract with her 4,700-member union. Here's today's economic report. U.S. working-class family home ownership is falling, according to a study by the Center for Housing Policy. Home ownership among low to moderate income families is lower today than it was in 1978. Just 59.6% of working-class families owned homes in 2003, the most recent year for which figures are available, compared to 62.5% in 1978. It's another sign of the serious impact stagnating wages and rising costs for health care are having on family budgets. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
All righty, then. We're back. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. And, you know, I think I've come up with a new concept to go along with our concept of conversation radio. What's that? Well, rocking chairs. It's the next big thing in retro conversation radio.
I've got the old family solid oak spindle-backed rocking chair going for me here. And you know what? It just changes your attitude. May have to get one for John and Bruce and maybe Guy and Grace and Rama and rocking chair conversation radio. Because it's hard to lose perspective from that standpoint. Let's go straight to the phones. Wayne is joining us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good, good. I hope everything's going good for you.
Yeah, we're doing what we can do.
Well, good. You're taking care of family, man. That's what you're doing, and that's what you're supposed to do. So, you know, that's an honorable thing. But
yeah, exactly.
Everything's coming along. I mean, this seems to be working out pretty good. You ironed out some bugs last night.
And yeah, there'll be a couple of more bugs here and there, but we're going to get this down to rocket science here pretty soon, I think.
I'm sure you will. I have a lot of confidence in you, man. But listen, going back to a subject, I forget who you were talking to, about Neil Young.
Yeah.
I want to say this. I don't give a damn how Neil Young got to where he got right now. I'm glad he's here.
Exactly.
And, you know, whomever, whatever you thought 3 years ago, 6 months ago, or yesterday, if you want to come over to our side and be reasonable and help us and make other people realize we've got to do something here. I mean, these people are absolutely frightening. The whole thing is falling apart, and we have to be very, very concerned of what they're going to do. And, I mean, you know, I don't know. Should we try to introduce a resolution that you not attack anyone until after the elections or something? You know what I mean?
I'd love to see something like that go down in Congress.
Well, it's frightening, but we have to do everything we possibly can. And Neil Young, I want to go look for that. You know,
It's out now, I think.
Huh?
It's out now, I think.
I bet it is, you know. It was, Well, there's a lot of things I'd like to, talking about music. I was just talking to Agnes before I got on. Are you familiar with a guy called Gil Scott Heron?
Oh, gosh, yes.
He was he was a poet.
Yeah.
You know, musician. He wrote some of the, it was like, you know.
The revolution will not be televised.
Revolutionary music. Yeah, I was trying not to use that word, but I don't know what the hell else to use. You know.
Yeah, well, it's what he called it.
Well, we need that. You know, I mean, I'd really like to not be violent and stuff like that, but I mean, these people. Well, people like Neil. People are coming. You know, I mean, did you see the Fox News poll? I mean,
yeah, 30
Fox.
Yeah, 33%.
Right, that's Fox, so you know it's got to be 27.
Oh, sure.
What's
happening here, Wayne? I don't mean to toot my own trumpet too much, but I said that you would see these numbers fall until you got down to that bizarre, hardcore little cancerous wad of proto humanity. Who, if you showed them pictures of George Bush drowning kittens, they'd swear it was a baptizing.
Yeah, you were right, you know. But, I mean, he seems to be losing some of those folks, too.
Well, like I said, if there's any indication to be had from what I'm seeing down here, yeah. Again, you know, I saw a big old gas-guzzling, you know, you just love the irony of these things. Saw a big old gas-guzzling SUV in front of me in traffic today with a support our troops yellow ribbon thingy, you know, made in China. And above that, a little sticker with a gasoline pump on it that said, "High gas prices stink." And I'm putting two and two together and triangulating and dot connecting and things like that, Wayne. And I'm thinking,
a W sticker?
No, not a W sticker. But I was doing a little extrapolating, and I'm thinking, yeah, high gas prices do stink, and I'm guessing you helped make them that way.
Yeah.
You know, because that wasn't no Democrat.
No.
But the W stickers are gone.
Well, and they should be gone. And they should be gone, you know. But, you know, there are, gas prices is only the very beginning of the problem, man. You know, right, you know. I've been listening to a couple things lately, and you got to, you know, like, I mean, we complain about that much money for a gallon of gas, but and then pay $3 for a cup of Starbucks coffee because they supposedly drained it through 18 million drains or whatever.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
Whatever the hell their magic cigarette is. You know, we got to concentrate on why we're here and what, you know, we got to get rid of these people, man.
Well, we got to get rid of these people, and but when we do, we got to do it the right way, Wayne. We got to do it the right way because, you know, the last time we chased off a megalomaniacal punk, it was Richard Nixon, and we didn't finish the job.
No, I realize that, but that's why, you know, and that's why people coming over like Neil Young, people, you know, and whomever wants to come over and help us, you know, get rid of these people. And the first step to that is gaining control of the House. And, you know, that's only what? Where are we at here? 6 months away.
Yeah, it was six months out and 15 members of the House and, what, four senators, five senators?
Believe me, I'm telling you, I don't care what anybody says, we're taking back the House. Then, in this two-year period from the time these people are sworn in, we can, and you brought this up first, hold them accountable.
Yeah, because...
Hold them accountable and demand what we want and demand what has to be done. And not only is it getting rid of these people... It's getting rid of, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we elect lobbyists. The states, the people elect lobbyists. We don't need K Street. We don't need them. And that has to, you know, that has to be corrected. We have to get back to, well, a representative form of government.
It would be nice.
So. Anyway, I think it's I think things are very encouraging, and I'm interested to hear what Neil Young has to say. And
well, I am too.
Find any Gil Scott Heron. I mean, you got connections in high places. I know you could find this dude.
Well, I think you just made your own connection. I think you just put the call out. We need some Gil Scott Heron.
Okay.
All right.
Very good, brother.
All right. Take care, man.
Okay, man. I'll be talking to you.
Okay. See you. And it is encouraging. I think we do have, and I know the naysayers are out there. Well, you know, well, what if you get mugwump Democrats? Look, I want a Democratic majority, and then hold them accountable. Be downright mean about it. Explain to the Democratic Party, this is the one chance that you get. You don't get any more. You get in there and you do the people's business and you take a big old meat axe and you clean out K Street, you write some laws with some teeth in them, and you stop this nonsense. I believe in being tougher on my own party than I am on the other guys. Because someone has got to make America America again. You know, at least that's the way I feel about it. But in this process, in this optimism of watching these people completely come unglued at the seams, it must be borne in mind that, well, there's nothing more dangerous than a cornered animal. And that's what we're looking at here, cornered animals. This is the war, you know, these are hyenas and they're rabid and they're in a corner and they're going to lash out and I'm convinced they're going to try to start a war with Iran. Hugo Chavez said today or yesterday on a trip to South America, Brazil somewhere in South America. Boy, that was stupid, Bob. Brazil, Argentina, something like that. He said that George Bush is the cause of high gasoline prices. You know what? He's right. George Bush is the cause of high gasoline prices in the United States and the world over. Because he's the one that's making the markets so nervous. He's the, you know, and Dick Cheney running around, we will not permit Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Well, there's no evidence that Iran is trying to get one, for God's sake. Oh, stop it, Bob. Let's go to the phone. CB is with us, and I haven't talked to CB in a long, long time. Hey, CB, how you doing? You head on.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm risking a monster headache to call you up on this remote thing.
Well, bless your heart. We don't want you to have a headache.
I can hear you, though, so maybe everything's going to be all right. I tried calling Bruce and John earlier this week, and boy, howdy, I almost killed myself trying to make my inner ear go through the receiver so that I could figure out what they were saying. Golly. So anyway, heroin.
Yes.
That word you're not supposed to say over the line.
well, that or anthrax or Zyklon B.
Yeah. The people in Afghanistan and places like that have absolutely no other way to feed themselves. And that's all there is to it.
You can grow heroin or you can grow hay. And nobody's buying hay.
Yeah. And although it turns out hay is probably the number one best answer for our alternative energy source. On the Princeton Lecture Series page, there's a lecture from a physicist who's not talking about physics. He's talking about alternative energy. That's pretty cool. And he's talking about biomass energy. He comes to that. He goes through all the different alternative sources and says what's right with them and what's wrong with them and where we're at about them. And turns out we could be growing a lot of grass in places across the planet and fixing all our energy needs. But I would like to say that, you know, this world is how it is because we allow it. We feed it. Our baseline assumptions keep letting it go on. Like the basic assumption that heroin production is bad, you know, and it needs to be stopped. Well, no, heroin consumption maybe needs to be stopped. Or heroin needs to be legalized as a pain medication.
Or how about heroin capitalism?
Or heroin capitalism.
I mean, that's what this is. I mean, this isn't socialism at work. This isn't anarchy at work. This is pure Adam Smith capitalism, where the medium of exchange is heroin.
Oh golly, there's all kinds of static coming between you and me, and
oh no,
I'm going to try and endure this.
Okay, no migraines.
I had to take a whole bunch of pain pills the other night to try and make that puppy go away. I really got myself a monster one going.
Well, I've just tinkered with two knobs, so I hope that made it better.
It did make it better. Thank you very much. Okay, heroin capitalism. Where was I in my poor pea brains?
Go ahead.
Well, it's like everybody out there is trained to say that communism is bad. You know, everybody's knees jerk up to their chin. You know, it's an epithet. It's a nasty thing to call somebody. You know, dirty commie. You know, excuse me, what's so dirty about a system of government where everybody's basic needs are taken into account? You know,
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. It's not a dirty thing. I mean, granted, it hasn't been administered that well out there in the world, you know,
well,
so far.
Well, it hasn't. I don't know that it's ever actually been tried.
Exactly. You know, it keeps being that the people in power keep perpetuating the things that line their bank accounts, line their own pockets.
Drug trade thing. Chairman Mao and Chou En-lai died rich, CB.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, they weren't exemplars of the dictatorship of the proletariat. Marshal Tito died rich. Stalin died rich. Brezhnev died rich. Those aren't commies.
They're capitalizing on the ordinary everyday man desire to just ignore all that stuff. They've got too much on their hands already. They've got their kids and all their that craziness, and so they want to leave it to somebody whose job it is to take care of this. And those people don't seem able to resist the money, the power, you know, the fiddling around with the world. And that's why we are where we are. And Wayne is right. It's got to stop right away. You know, I mean, that article by Carl Bernstein that that's so long and then nobody wants to read.
I read it all.
Maybe if I don't get a terrible headache, I'll try and start it. Should take that article and digest it. Just take out the main points and start spreading that around everywhere. I mean, everything is already ruined beyond repair. But we haven't nuked anybody yet. I mean, billions, trillions of dollars have just been peed away into the pockets of the few. Stuff that we needed, money that we needed really badly for other things is gone. It's gone. And everybody's been, you know, hemming and hawing and sitting on their hands. And while the biggest travesty in our history has been coming down, and it has to stop. It's a matter of life and death. And the Bernstein article, really, we need to take out a whole lot of the wordage and get the bullet points on that thing and get it through people's heads. And we can't wait for it. I'm encouraged that Fox is coming out with these low poll numbers and certain other indicators, because it looks to me as if the conservatives are finally getting ready to cut loose these maniacs, you know, that they're going to turn on them too. But we can't bank on that. And even if there's a move afoot, you know, in the Republican Party to get rid of the administration, it isn't one we can rely on. There has to be action soon.
Well, the question is, and this is the eternal problem for our side of things, CB. What action first? Now, to my way of looking at it, by my lights, the first action is the removal of George Bush from office and Dick Cheney, plain and simple.
Right.
However, but that has a condition precedent, and that is taking a Democratic majority in the House of Representatives and in the Senate.
Does that really have to be the case? I mean, since our representatives in Congress don't seem to be doing this for us, can't we go in there in huge numbers into their offices or into the Capitol building, whatever, and start demanding loudly that these people be taken out of office?
What is the mechanism?
How do we mark them out?
CB dear, I'm sure that we could, if we could get the boss to give us time off to go and have a revolution in Washington D.C.
Now see, here we are again, and this is coming from me, Ms. Cut Your Nose Off Despite Your Face. Forget our jobs. What good are our jobs when there's radiation all over the planet?
I understand completely. Now let me throw one more concept at you, if I could, please. I know you want to go and rattle the doorknobs on Capitol Hill.
Right.
I'd like to do that too. There is one movement that I have never even seen, except for sort of knocking around inside my brain like a marble in a popcorn popper. There is one thing that would change a lot of this. Wayne mentioned K Street.
Yeah.
You mentioned getting our representatives to do what we want them to do. K Street is symptomatic of a disease, as is what you just mentioned. The one thing that I would like to see a generalized movement toward is, and I don't know if it would take legislation or a constitutional amendment. I don't know exactly what the process would be, but the one thing that could change a lot of these things would be to do away with corporate personhood. Now, I know that's geeky, but I know you get it.
Yeah.
It was a late 19th century Supreme Court decision that declared that corporations are persons within the meaning of the definition of person in the Constitution, and therefore a corporation has First Amendment rights just like CB does. A corporation has 14th Amendment due process and equal protection rights just like CB does.
Well, Well, yeah, the whole
whole gamut applies to a corporation. You take away corporate because, you know, if you listen to right-wing radio, what you heard when campaign finance reform was discussed was, my God, you can't limit the money that corporations can give to political candidates. That's not fair. That is, and there's the key word, that's an infringement of their civil rights. And the sad thing is, that's correct. It is. So you take, but those civil rights only flow out of the fact that these are persons within the meaning of the law. You take away corporate personhood, and you can say, look, Mr. ABC Corporation, you cannot give a damn dime to a politician. No questions asked, period. You get caught doing it, we pull the charter.
Well, this is all fine and dandy, and you're right. This would be a good way to proceed after we've snatched these guys out of the White House. That all of the solutions available to us out there take too long. I mean, the guy's already in Iran getting it all set up to do this. He's already going to have this stupid divine strike thing on June 2nd. And it just occurred to me, I was following down a lead on this letter from the Pentagon to all the secretaries of state a few months ago about mm-hmm. voting issues for Brad Friedman.
Right.
And I found it was like a form letter with form paragraphs, different ones for different states, you know, stuff they wanted to make uniformity all along, you know, because somebody had been hollering about, what is this that the Pentagon is writing to the Secretary of State about, you know, emergency voting systems? What, you know?
Right.
Everybody's freaking out about it. Well, I looked it up, and it looked like the Pentagon letter was just talking about, for military personnel, you know, that there had to be some alternative system in there so they could vote in case of emergency, like if they were going to be in battle or something. But it just hit me that, you know, if this is being made uniform across the United States, that all 50 states have to have an alternative voting thing for these emergencies, I didn't look closely enough. Does that mean that, say, if our soldiers are engaged in battle somewhere, that we can put off the elections until they're free to come and vote with the rest of us?
I don't know, CB, but
no,
I know the stuff that was floated before the 2004 election. It was actually talked about, and it wasn't supposed to get out. But there were plans discussed for suspending the 2004 elections under the Patriot Act and Homeland Security in case of another terrorist attack. And it was ludicrous. But the thing is, that's where these people's minds are.
Exactly. That's the point that I'm trying to make. These people's minds must not be allowed to continue in this vein. They can't have what they want anymore. They're criminals. It's abundantly obvious, even to the conservatives. They need to be gone now. And so what is the fastest possible way to accomplish that? Who has the power to get the police in there to frog march them out of the White House?
Well, this is
and
the part.
And if there is no mechanism like that, you know, I heard a man on Malloy's show saying that he's had it. He's snapped. He's going over the gate at the White House. And Malloy's telling him, no, 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 you'll get killed. Or at the best, hauled off to jail. Don't do it. You know, we need your emotion and heart out here with us. Well,
I tend to side with that.
Well, I know you do. But the point is, what is going to get people off their butts to get this accomplished? But martyrs like that.
$5 a gallon gas. $6 a gallon gas.
Well.
No, I'm sorry. The American people never get off their butts until it is really, really, really bad.
I can't. And then the guy have to get.
A lot worse than this, sad to say.
And the thing
is, that may encompass me, that may encompass my family, that may encompass you. It will touch a hell of a lot of people. There, a lot of the people who all along CB have been saying, you know, please do something. Do something now before it gets worse. Before it gets worse, we're going to be caught up in the same snare.
Well, I already almost cannot eat every day of the week anymore because I can't afford to get to it. And once I get there, I can't afford enough of it.
Well, right, and it's not, yeah, exactly. It's not necessarily the $3, $4, $5, $6 you're going to pay at the pump. Guess what? Everybody's going to be paying that. Nobody gets a break. So the what do I pay for a gallon of milk right now for the kids? $3.49, $3.50 a gallon. When gas goes to $6 a gallon and more, that $3.50 a gallon milk is going to be $5.
Right.
Broccoli, tomatoes, whatever, the fresh produce is going to be almost unpurchasable because of the distance it has to travel to get to market.
Right. It's already radically expensive.
You know, canneries, food processing plants, they all run to some degree or another on one fossil fuel or another.
And it's all because we tacitly agree to all this. We are the ones who make up reality, make it up in our heads, and when we agree to it, that's how it proceeds. If we can all agree that burning up our planet is not the right way to proceed,
but
boom,
we can't.
We stop.
We can't all agree, CB. I mean, we've got to have a certain degree of reality in this debate. We can't all agree because, I referenced what I heard just toddling around in the vehicle today. Flush Flimbaugh talking to 5 million people, telling them that the global warming movement is dying because there's no scientific evidence to support it. That's an outrageous lie. But 5 million people, a substantial majority of them heard it and went, yeah, that's right.
Didn't it used to be against the law to broadcast outrageous lies like that?
Sadly, no.
No?
No. No, I mean, Father Coughlin or all those creeps back in the third, no. But there was the Fairness Doctrine. And the fairness doctrine is gone, dead, pushing up daisies, feeding the worms, whatever you want to call it. I mean, they can just say stuff. They can just make it up. For the first time, I actually listened to the Glenn Beck program today.
Oh God.
Oh, and that was just awful. It was like having rocks thrown at me. But you know, he comes out, he says, he's got a pretty voice. He's got a pretty masculine voice, and it's very soothing. He says, you know, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has just been shown to be wrong 98% of the time. Even the weatherman's not that wrong that often. What a great job that would be on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the most liberal appeals court in the country, and just be wrong all the time. Wrong by whose standards? But he doesn't have to say that.
Right.
He doesn't have to say that he's been told that they're wrong 98% of the time by some gang of merciless bastard thugs out there who think that being wrong includes enforcing environmental laws, which the Ninth Circuit tends to do. So, yeah. I mean, that's what we're up against. You want everybody to agree on something? It ain't going to happen. I mean, I'm not trying to be negative or anything, but no, it's not going to happen. The only point at which everyone is going to agree is when it gets really, really awful. And if you want to use historical models to have a look at it, CB, you go back and you find out if you look at the Great Depression, you know, bankers on windowsills and workers in soup lines and the entire layer of topsoil of Oklahoma just blown the hell away from erosion, and everybody couldn't agree that they were in bad times. There were Republicans out there that fought Franklin Delano Roosevelt tooth and toenail on every policy that he put forward. When Social Security passed, I've said it time and time again, when Social Security passed, CB, it passed both houses of Congress without one, not even one, Republican vote. And it's not because there weren't any Republicans in Congress.
Oh, 2012, hurry up.
Yeah, December 23rd,
yep.
Top of the pyramid.
Yep, that's about the size of it. I mean, if we are unwilling to get up and make sure that this heinous thing does not come down the pike, you know, make absolutely 100% sure that it doesn't happen, then We should be getting into caves someplace in order to weather this next cycle. Because that's all there is to it. We either stop them or get into caves to start civilization over again after most of the radiation has let up.
Well, I mean, that, you know, that's that Dr. Strangelove thing. You know, we cannot have a mine shaft gap. CB, it's great talking to you. I hadn't heard from you in a while. I'm glad. I hope I haven't caused a migraine.
No, actually, thank you very much for getting rid of some of that static for me. That seemed to help, and I can hear you well enough. Between the static and the delay and the lack of volume with the boys the other night, I swear I was in a very bad way.
Well,
I feel much better now.
I threw a monstrous learning curve at the lovely Agnes, and she has done yeoman work in getting used to it, and I think things are only going to get better.
You know, whenever I hear the word Agnes lately, I keep remembering that title, Agnes of God.
Mm-hmm. And we all know what the Latin word Agnes means.
Except me.
Wrath.
Wrath.
Agnes Dei, Wrath of God.
Ooh! I love Agnes. I love you, too.
Take care, CB.
Night, Bob.
Bye now. Our good friend CB from Northern California. Now, I'm sorry. I got dragged down a little pessimistic trail. I am excited about the prospect of taking back to Congress. God knows I'm excited. But we've got to have a little bit of advanced planning for when that happens. And we have got to watch these sorry SOBs like a hawk. These Bush defenders, these Bush enablers, these people that think, well, you know, I'm afraid that Iran is going to nuke us. If the reason it's put forward, oh, you know, they're crazy. One, Iran's not going to nuke us. If Iran's going to nuke anybody, Iran's going to nuke Israel. And the only way that Iran nukes Israel is if Israel nukes Iran first. Because there will be no more Iran if Iran ever uses a nuclear weapon, just like there would be no more North Korea. These small states are developing nuclear weapons because they are scared all to hell of a crazy little megalomaniacal madman from Crawford, Texas, or actually Connecticut. We've got Texas listeners who upbraid me frequently for mentioning the fact that Bush might be from Texas. He's not. It's not Texas's fault. That bad idea took place in Connecticut, probably not far from where Joe Lieberman grew up. So let's take a break. You got me some music there, Agnes? Yeah. Get up, stand up. So your Cup of Joe report is coming up. When we come back, your phone calls are welcome. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. What's on your mind? I got lots of stuff. I'm Bob. Don't give up the fight. Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is on the gear. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's a cord that keeps...
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. The new CD by the Dixie Chicks, Taking the Long Way, has risen at the time of this podcast to number 4 on the Amazon.com bestseller list, even though the CD's release is still more than a month away. You'd think that something this popular would merit some serious attention, and it has, but not in the way you would imagine if you were hearing about this for the first time. Over the last few years, the Chicks have been the target of some of the most vicious right-wing attacks since Jane Fonda. They've been kicked off the air in much of the Red South, vilified as traitors, and had death threats made against them. They even went and changed their designation from country to rock because of it. Not that it's hurt their sales, of course. The Chicks still remain a popular group, and the song Not Ready to Make Nice is a clear indication that, unlike the leadership of the Democratic Party, they're not going to be pushed around. but that's to be expected from a group who wrote a song about killing an abusive husband. And the most remarkable thing of it is that all of this started just because lead singer Natalie Maines said at a concert in England that she was embarrassed that the president was from Texas. That's it. But you know, that's how it is with bullies. They're notoriously thin-skinned. Maybe it's because the people they're trying the hardest to convince are themselves. I guess the louder you yell, the easier it is to forget how idiotic it is to support this embarrassment of an administration. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show via streaming audio every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Anne Braden.
You know, I got interested in Anne's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss and tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
Back Friday night, Head On.
a little bit. I don't know. I'm still a little bit addled by the system, but it's gotten considerably easier. And Agnes is doing a wonderful job back at the homestead. Let's take a look at a little bit of news that's been banging around out there. I wanted to share something with you that came from our good friend Roz, who ends her emails with impeach, indict, imprison. And I agree with all three. This goes to educational issues, and the story, of course, broke today about, you know, we stopped another Columbine because we found boys who had guns and ammunition in their room. Imagine teenage boys with guns and ammunition in their rooms in Kansas. My God, if you went around and rounded up every boy with guns and ammunition in his room in, well, here in beautiful Alabama, or God knows, Mississippi, Texas, Tennessee, West Virginia, North Carolina, well, you wouldn't have juvenile boot camp space enough for all of them. This is a coward nation. This is a nation that lives in fear. But that speaks to the educational system that we're dealing with right now. In terms of the No Child Left Behind Act, No Child's Behind Left Act, Roz says, I know teachers will love this. This is such a great analogy. Use this the next time that you're dealing with some right-wing freak talking about all the good that George Bush has done. I know teachers will love this. Here's how No Child Left Behind would apply to high school football teams if it was implemented for football teams. One, all teams must make the state playoffs, and all will win the championship. If a team does not win the championship, then they will be on probation until they are the champions, and coaches will be held accountable. Two, all kids will be expected to have the same football skills at the same time and in the same conditions. No exceptions will be made for interest in football, a desire to perform athletically, or genetic abilities or disabilities. Three, all kids will play football at a proficient level. Four, talented players will be asked to work out on their own without instruction. This is because the coaches will be using all their instructional time with the athletes who aren't interested in football, have limited athletic ability, or whose parents don't like football. Five, games will be played year-round, but statistics will only be kept in the 4th, 8th, and 11th games. Six, this will create a new age of sports where every school is expected to have the same level of talent and all teams will reach the same minimal goals. If no child gets ahead, then no child will be left behind. And in a way, Roz echoes CB somewhat. The time for an outbreak of responsibility is soon at hand. The national debt is exploding, now at over $28,800 per U.S. citizen. The trade deficit is increasing as well. This means there is an attack of fiscal responsibility coming. The next election, 2006, is about who pays for this mess. The Republican answer is Democratic bicoastal voters. Anyone who lives within 100 miles of a major body of water voting for a Republican is a chicken voting for Colonel Sanders. Isn't that the truth? But this is the way this gang has operated since they seized power in 1994. Humongous bills that were written by their lobbyist pals on K Street that are so dense and so convoluted and so absolutely Byzantine that they can't possibly be comprehended by a lone legislator trying to read a law going forward. So naturally the lobbyists can tuck in little sweetheart deals. It goes back to something Agnes and I have discussed in the past. Within the boundaries of the No Child Left Behind Act is a statement that you as a parent of a high school student have to opt out. You have to affirmatively sign a form telling the United States government to leave your sweet little innocent teenager, I know, no, that's not a contradiction in terms, telling the U.S. military to leave your kid alone and not put recruiting pressure on them. And, of course, that's just ass backwards. As a parent, you should have to affirmatively opt in to allowing military recruiters to come after your kid and turn them into potential jello before they reach the age at which they can legally drink a glass of beer or wine. And within the confines of the Patriot Act. Is just a heaping load of evil gobbledygook, and you know this. I was dealing with some financial matters the other day, and this guy had to read me on the phone. Of course, waited on hold for 15 freaking minutes listening to various and sundry pieces of advertising garbage before I finally got a human being. And then, in order to talk to the guy, I had to be read a chunk of the Patriot Act had to be read to me. And now, this is not Rents, and this is not George Norrie or any of that other weird stuff that may or may not be true. But the fact of the matter was, I had to give up a Social Security number before the guy could go any further. Now, I've been told time and time and time again, we will not use anything more than the last four digits of your Social Security number for security purposes. Not anymore, sunshine. You got to give up the whole thing. And you got to give up your date of birth. And you have to be prepared to show three forms of ID, two forms must be bearing a photograph. This CB is right. This is a broken nation. This is a nation that is literally wobbling at its seams. It's one of those if not now when kind of moments. If not us, whom? Now, I'm not inclined to scream and carry on. But ask yourself the question. What does it take to wake America up? I submit that my somewhat pessimistic answer is the correct one. You know, when gas goes to $6 or $10 a gallon, I've got a question. Are they still going to be running, and I'm not trying to get on anybody's bad side here, are they still going to be running NASCAR? You know, I understand that the top fuel dragsters will still be running because that's not gasoline. What will go by the wayside when gasoline gets high enough that it begins to make people squeal? If you've got a family with two or three kids, $6 a gallon milk? Is that enough? Would America go into the streets over milk? Will America go into the streets over celery, carrots, lettuce, cabbage? A lot of this stuff most of America does not have a year-long crop rotation growing season. When it gets to the point where everything is reflected in the hellish gas prices, is that enough to, no, it's not, because it's not going to put any bankers or any Wall Street brokers on windowsills. The comfort level of the middle and lower classes is of marginal concern to the people who are running the show right now. It's what will happen when negative things begin happening to the hummingbird, the roasted hummingbird tongue crowd. The gang that is able to go out and, at a moment's notice, plop down $15,000 for an umbrella stand instead of throwing it in the bathtub, wet umbrella in the bathtub like the rest of America does.
oh, Bob, you put your umbrella in the bathtub. I don't want to ever take a bath at your house. No, really. These kind of things do occupy my mind. I mentioned a book last night, Michael Pollan's new one, The Omnivore's Dilemma. I think I may have misnamed it last night, The Carnivore's Dilemma. It's The Omnivore's Dilemma. And he reflects on the fact that less than 2% of the, you know, I'm down here where I grew up. I've spent most of my life either here or in West Virginia. I have very limited experience with the Great Plains, but I have stereotypes in my head of what they ought to look like. Less than 2% of the state of Iowa is now comprised of what Iowa used to be. And that is tall prairie grass. Less than 2%. And instead of doing crop rotations now, because of advances in corn technology and agribusiness, if it's not growing corn, it's laying there as black as asphalt. Our friend, the over-the-road trucker, Gary, from time to time, has pointed out a massive paradigm shift coming. I remember being a boy here, and we had cable when cable wasn't had many places. I don't know why it got a foothold here, but it did. And WTBS, which was then WTCG, ran some survivalist guy. Oh, I can't remember what his name was. Howard Ruff, maybe, or something like that. And you know, he was all about, you know, buy gold and you know, half of the stuff that gets advertised on right wing talk radio now. Buy gold, and he was willing to sell you his prepackaged vacuum sealed survival food and stuff because, you know, the coming financial crisis. So the economic crisis of the ages. I'm aware that kind of stuff has been talked before, but the stars were never aligned in such a way as they are now. And it's a frightening time. And the animals, well, what did Hunter Thompson say? God rest it, or somebody, something, rest his soul, if he had one. The rats are in the tunnel. And they are. Oh, God, they are. And they're big rats, and they're scared, and they're frightened, and they're willing to lash out and kill and tear flesh to protect themselves, because after all, self-preservation is the first law of nature. And it doesn't matter how many mothers' sons get slaughtered in a meat grinder in Iraq. American mothers' sons. It doesn't matter how many Iranians die in one big brilliant flash in ancient Persia. If the rats that are in the tunnel deem that will help them self-preserve better, then you had better understand that they will, by God, do it. Without any compunction whatsoever. And they will set up generation after generation of absolute hell and torment and misery for the likes of you and me. So what has to happen first? A million people are not going to go and rattle doorknobs on Capitol Hill. They're not going to do it. This is a representative form of government. We must rely on our elected representatives to do the right thing, and the right thing needs to be shouted from sea to shining sea. The right thing is the removal, peaceably and legally, of this god-awful little megalomaniac from office and the man who enables him, Dick Cheney. They must both be impeached, they must both be removed, and let Dennis Hastert, if that's what has to happen, let Dennis Hastert be a caretaker president until January 21st, 2009. America stands at a crossroads. We got a lot of fixing to do. And we got a break to take. So feel free to chime in the final hour of this, the final show of the week. 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, Head On. Bob at headonradio.com for email. We'll be back. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sheriff Buford Husser ran things around there. Sheriff Buford Husser was trying to clean up McNairy County, Tennessee from all them bootleggers that was bringing crime and corruption and illegal liquor into his little dry county. And for his troubles, he got ambushed. And his wife was murdered and his house got blown up and they made a movie about it called Walking Tall. This is the other side of that story.
You're listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. 500 pharmacy technicians remain locked out at Medco, a national mail-order prescription company. United Steelworkers spokesperson Lynn Baker explains why the workers were locked out by the company.
Medco is trying to stay in control of the health care plan, and the union is saying that that needs, any changes need to be negotiated. And we've repeatedly told them that we're unwilling to give up our right to bargain over health care. We want to be able to bargain over any changes in the health care plan and in fact, be able to bargain if the company so desires to cancel that health care plan.
The workers were locked out as they tried to negotiate a fair contract renewal. The National Labor Relations Board has issued a complaint against the company for unlawfully changing employee benefits without negotiating to an impasse with the union. The Steelworkers Union is calling on Nevada Governor Kenny Gwynn and state boards of pharmacy to investigate Medco Health Solutions for using temporary workers who may be unqualified to handle pharmaceuticals. Two different coalitions that together helped organize the recent massive marches for undocumented immigrant worker rights are split now over the call for a May Day boycott of work, school, and all consumer activity. The groups are united on immigration reform that provides some form of legalization, but they don't agree on the boycott. The March 25th Coalition, 100 political and immigrant rights groups, supports the boycott and full immediate legalization. The We Are America Coalition of 125 labor, business, and Roman Catholic groups are urging a rally after work and school on May 1st instead, and it supports a guest worker program and a gradual path to legalization.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible. A cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
On Thursday, the federal government arrested 1,200 undocumented workers, along with seven current and former managers in 26 states at IFCO Systems. According to federal prosecutors, the managers face up to 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine for each illegal immigrant worker. The Greater New Orleans AFL-CIO is planning a workers' rights march there May 2nd. Robert Hammond, president of IBEW Local 130, says New Orleans workers have been shut out of the rebuilding process. Another labor problem, according to Brenda Mitchell, president of the United Teachers of New Orleans, is that the local school district has refused to honor a contract with her 4,700-member union. Here's today's economic report. U.S. working-class family homeownership is falling, according to a study by the Center for Housing Policy. Homeownership among low- to moderate-income families is lower today than it was in 1978. Just 59.6% of working-class families owned homes in 2003, the most recent year for which figures are available, compared to 62.5% in 1978. It's another sign of the serious impact stagnating wages and rising costs for health care are having on family budgets. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Yeah, but where's here? Well, here is the Shoals area of Alabama. We're remote from our West Virginia studios in a secure, undisclosed location. The beautiful hills, and I miss them, and all the wonderful people that are in them. But I am reinventing or inventing rocking chair radio. There's a lot to be said for this. Now all I got to do is get the microphone to rock with me. So I won't be sort of, well, you get the idea. Let's go to the phones. Peter is with us on line one.
Good evening, Bob.
Hey, Peter, you're head on. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. It's good to talk to you. You know, I really wasn't going to call tonight, but CB's remarks and her honesty about, you know, the getting back and forth and getting to the grocery store and things cost too much. And you know, I'm having the same problem, too. I guess we all are. And your comments, too, about, you know, when is it going to reach the tipping point of, you know, when it's $5 a gallon or $6 a gallon. Well, in fact, I came across an article today that I wanted to share with you. And this particular article was out of a newspaper in Texas, and then I went and Googled the subject matter and found similar articles in Hawaii and Arizona and California and North Carolina from local news sources in those states. So I guess it's pretty much safe to say this is going on nationwide, but that is what's going on with pawn shops. Pawn shops are doing great business these days with people coming in, pawning things to afford gas. To get back and forth to work. There was one of the stories talked about a guy who came in and pawned the TV and was going to come back and pick it up so he could get, you know, back and forth to work. But you know that, you know, once you pawn something, then you got to pay to get it back out. You know, they may pawn it a couple of times, but they're going to, you know, lose the TV. And the pawn shop owners were talking about how, you know, the younger people and poor people, you know, have always used pawn shops a lot for loans, short-term loans, because of not being able to get credit. But the touching thing about it was that the elderly people are beginning to pawn household items to have gas money to get back and forth to the doctor. You know, we knew that this was going to hit the poor people first, and it's hitting now. And, you know, we haven't even reached peak driving season. You know, they call during the June, July, when peak driving season, whatever, vacation. That's when the gas prices really spike. And, you know, by then, you know, what will it be? You know, 6, 10? You're right. But it's already impacting the fixed income people and the poor people. It's already hitting, and the pawn shops are benefiting. I just thought that was important.
I hadn't seen that, but that's such a, I mean, that's like environmentally. They say when the frogs and the amphibians start dying off, that it's not a fit place to live anymore.
Good point.
This is that.
Yes,
And it's terrible, and it's tragic, and you know, old folks. Can you imagine pawning the engagement ring, a lady pawning the engagement ring that she's worn for, you know, 30, 40 years for gasoline?
Yes, and you know how older people will open up and talk to you about things sometimes they wouldn't talk to other people about. Maybe they're a little bit embarrassed about going into pawn shops anyway, but They are quick to say why they're pawning it, and it's for gas money to get back and forth to the grocery store or doctor to hold them till the end of the month. But you know, when you come back at the end of the month and you get that item, when you pay $25 to get it back, you know, plus the amount of the loan, you know, that spiral doesn't last long.
No, it doesn't. One of the things that blows my mind around here, Peter, and I'm sure it's probably in Florida as well. These payday loan services,
Title loan services?
Title loans, yes. They made them illegal in Florida, but now there's a thriving business just across the Georgia line. They're all over the Georgia-Florida line.
And yet, you know, I'm in Alabama, and forgive me, I keep coming to this subject when I'm chatting with you and such, but my mind is a little bit blown because, you know, this is you know, we got family values down here, and we got high morality. And, you know, we're in church every time the doors open.
Yeah, Wednesday.
And we want to make sure that two dudes can't pick out a China pattern, and we need big rocks with ancient Hebrew writing on them in every federal building. And and we got title loans.
Title loans. What?
So that poor people can go and lose their damn car.
To lose the car, and that which is precisely what happens. The interest rates are off the chart. I think they call it predatory lending.
Usury.
Yes,
let's
usury.
Get biblical about it.
And now that the credit card lobby has now changed it so that they can charge 28% on credit cards, that's about the same percentage as the title loan people. Maybe it's a little bit less, but
if you look at the fee structures and the late payments, and if you go over your limit, I've seen some reports from consumer groups that say that the real interest rate on that approaches something along the lines of 350% interest.
Well, yes, and I read today, too, that credit card companies are making as much as 40% of their record profit on fines for late payments and various other violations of the contract, who knows what, going over the limit, all the different ways they can get you. 40% of their profit comes from you're doing absolutely no charging, just following the almost impossible rules.
Well, exactly, and you know it's a matter of the way mails the mails cross.
Oh yeah,
if you're a day late, they're merciless, and by God, they've got a reference on your credit history.
That's true.
I remember during the big oil bust of the first Bush presidency, how they said that you could walk into pawn shops in Houston and pick up a Rolex for cheap. Well, now it's not a Rolex. It's Granny's China.
Yeah, Granny's China.
And this is not an America that I was trained to or taught to believe A, existed, or B, would ever be allowed to exist.
Well, it's hitting the fan now. It's hitting the fan with the lower middle class in terms of income. All the credit cards are maxed out. It's hitting the poor people at the pawn shops, and it won't take. The only positive thing I can say out of this is at least this is going to probably peak around June or July, which happens before the November elections. And no, I'm hoping to God that will help offset the October surprise, which you know is coming.
Oh, yeah, sure. You don't roll out a new product in August, and October is, you know, October is the Bush family's Christmas month.
Well,
it really is. But, you know, again, I see evidence out there of things that we can expect down the road. There was a story posted over at WD40.com today about the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the same gang that Glenn Beck was upset about earlier today for no apparent reason. And that story said that Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals okays schools to ban messages on T-shirts that are hateful or derogatory of groups or ethnicities. And the T-shirt that was banned, and you can smell the campaign from a mile away, whether it's coming from the American Family Association or people for the ethical treatment of evangelo-fascists or whatever James Dobson's running these days, because the T-shirt, Peter, that was banned said, homosexuality is a sinful life. And this kid wore it to high school, and they banned it.
Well, so that explains, I guess, why Glenn Beck was so upset about it.
Yeah, but I mean, do you see they're cranking it up again, and
yeah,
we're going to see on the media we will see more and more of scary immigrant stories.
and we will get a steady dose and diet of this kind of hate that the Republican Party knows. This is all they know. And we're gonna get the war drums beating. And meanwhile, Granny's having little friskies and saltines for dinner.
Well, this is true.
And I can't abide that.
This is true. There was an article today, regarding a North Carolina situation where several kids who had been picked on and bullied were planning a massacre in a school there. Did you happen to come across that?
Well, was that North Carolina or was that Kansas?
I believe it was North Carolina, and there was a large stash of guns. Apparently one of the kids leaked it out, but it was a for real plot. They were certainly going to pull it off with, they were going to disable the school cameras and wear, trench coats like that happened in Columbine. But, regardless of free speech, kids don't have, these days anyway, don't go very far before they blow. We've got to keep harassment down in schools. We just have to. These kids, they just blow you away.
Well, I can't, and I don't know about you, Peter, I can't imagine, one, I would not want to go through it again. Adolescence is and
God,
was
hell.
Oh, God,
I'm so
glad
I'm not that age. It was bad enough in the 60s and the early 70s.
But the thing is, I to a certain extent, you're 15, you're 16 years old. Look at the world that my generation and your generation is handing these kids.
Yeah, they've got to be mad as hell, and it can't be that they don't know. At least the ones that the smarter ones have got to know that the global warming thing is real. And by the time they're 45 years old, they'll have to have their kids covered in sunscreen to walk out the door. And
what's that frying smell? Well, Johnny, that's you.
Yeah, that's you. They'll have to have little tents over the playground, I guess.
Yeah, well, burkas will be so in.
Well, that's a good point, too.
For everybody.
That's a good point, too.
It's a terrible world we're passing off to them. And, if it's the right way, kid, you're inheriting the most prosperous, wonderful nation on earth. And God bless America and vote Republican. But that's not gonna count for anything. What kind of a job can a kid coming out of college today with $20,000-$30,000 worth of student loans over his head? What kind of a job can that kid get?
It's going to
allow him
taxes, if you can afford the gas.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame him.
It may the whole situation may be irreparable. Certainly the Bush administration has got to go. And people being just frankly honest about how this is impacting their own lives, like CB did earlier, I think that will be a huge. I think that's huge. I think it's important. People tend to take personal stories, it's happened to me stories, a lot closer to heart. It touched me.
Yeah, well, it did me too, and I don't know what you say to something like that.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot you can say.
It's people, and I hope that as this show grows, that we can start talking about our personal truths more. I mean, we all of us lay it on the line every night. Meanwhile, like I said, SUV in front of me today in traffic, huge thing. I mean, it's the GMC Earth Mover or something.
Love it. Earth Mover, perfect. That's a great
thing. It's got, the yellow Chinese magnet with the support the troops on it, $6.95 at Walmart, made in China. And a sticker above it that says, high gasoline prices stink.
You call that one right, though, Bob. You called it right when you hooked those dots together. One of the ones that caused it. And I'm having less and less sympathy for those who are waking up. We have been awake through this nightmare since the 2000 election. We've been wide awake and screaming bloody murders throughout the whole long nightmare. Well, they've been sound asleep.
Well, one of the interesting
things. No wonder they don't want to wake up. Wake up and see the horror. It's like waking into a bad dream.
Well, I've been walking. There's a lot of, this is the Deep South. There's a lot of development here. And it blows my mind because where I am, I don't, if a new store goes up every year and a half, growth in the mountains.
Yeah.
And I worry about that stuff. We got a Walmart going up on top of a Civil War graveyard up in Fayette County.
Oh, great.
But down here,
everything's changed and yet everything's the same. The entire center of gravity of this area has moved about 5 miles to the east. And that's where, you know, that's where Target is, that's where Wally World is, that's where the mall is, that's where Dick's Sporting Goods and Best Buy's and all the weird, there are chain, I thought I was up on my chain restaurants, Peter, but no, I have been left in the dust. There are chain restaurants that I didn't even know existed. I mean, I'm not talking about your usual, you know, the Chili's and the Bob Evans and the and that crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, these are, what the hell is that?
You know, I walked into
Target like an echo chamber. Walmart was no better. And this is, you know, this is the Deep South. I mean, this you go to that kind of store for recreational value. Hey, Ma, look at all the stuff we can't afford.
Well, that happens in some of the small towns here. I can call Thomasville, Georgia, to mind very easily that it's normally packed with kids with nothing else to do, playing that huge video arcade right conveniently located in front of the store. I think the smaller the town, the more likely they are to populate it with that sort of thing.
But yeah, the thing is, nobody's out there doing a whole bunch of shopping. There's something coming. There's something bad going to happen. I mean, it's like that fall is coming when you start hearing the crickets.
Good point.
And this is like crickets. This is an America that really is on the verge of something spooky and creepy and awful. And I don't care how often George Bush's administration comes out and says, yeah, well, you know, there's 100, we added 113,000 new jobs. Horse hockey.
Yeah, it's all a lot.
We traded jobs, Peter. You know, that's 113,000 jobs that used to pay $20 an hour that are now in China paying $1 a day to some poor woman chained to the table.
That's right. And
that were traded in America for $6.75 an hour.
That's right. And hamburgers are assembly positions.
Yeah.
Assembly jobs.
And that god awful fool Limbaugh talking today about how the United Auto Workers slit their own throat.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
Blame the victim.
Yeah, and just sit there and tell, you know, the global warming movement is losing steam.
It's hard to fathom, and you realize, of course, that's the same program that Rumsfeld was on earlier this week, 100% rubber stamped.
Of course.
Yeah.
And but you know, again, where's all the stuff with the Chi-Coms? Whatever happened to that now?
God, I don't know, Bob. Somehow or another, that one went, you know, by me. Somehow or another, I don't know what that is, but apparently.
The Chinese communists, you know, I mean, you couldn't, during the Clinton administration, you could not turn on right-wing talk radio without hearing, well, you know, the L'Oreal Corporation, with the connivance of the criminal Bill Clinton, sold missile technology to the Chi-Coms.
Oh.
Which all turned out to be just a load of hooey, just unmitigated crap.
I see. Somehow that went past me. I guess I wasn't tuned to the right-wing radio that year.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
You know, I listen so the rest of the world doesn't have to.
Yeah, well, you're a brave man, Bob. But I'm telling
you. It'll put you off your barbecue, I promise.
Yeah, it's going to come to a head this summer. It's already affecting a lot of people, and the credit cards and the pawn shops are the early signs of the frogs and the amphibians fade away. You're absolutely right.
Well, Peter, thank you so much. I appreciate the conversation.
Well, I enjoy talking to you, Bob. I just when CB called and you were, I just had to bring up the pawn shops.
I feel like I'm being such a pessimist. I really want change in this country, but as far as getting people, you know, with the torches and pitchforks routine, you know, and going to the castle at the top of the hill.
Well, yeah, that won't work. You would be shot. Yeah, that, I heard that conversation earlier. Yeah, no doubt you'd be shot. Not shot on the spot. And then the press would say that you had bombs in your pocket and that you're affiliated with the some
Falun Gong
worse than I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope we can reach some solutions. And again, I got a list of stuff for a Democratic majority to get after. But they can't get after it until they get it. But maybe, you know, maybe $6 a gallon gasoline makes redneck America look up and go, you know, I think they snookered me.
Well,
Well, they did. Surprise, surprise.
How's that working out for you?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, supposedly down south, you know, the folks pride themselves on, you know, well, you know, you think we're stupid because we talk slow, we're going to get you in the end.
Yeah, right. Well, look what happened.
Look what happened, and look who's, you know, happy hornswoggling day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, how's that work it out for you?
Hand me that horn. I want to swoggle it a little bit.
Yeah. Oh God, you made me laugh. I wasn't. Yeah, just it's kind of one of those days. You know, some days are harder to take than others, and today was one of those days. The news and the pawn shops and on and on and on. Some days are just harder to take than others. By the time the evening rolls around, you've just had it, you know?
I know. I saw in the chat room there, I saw Clyde referencing the fact that he was kicking back, letting me raise his blood pressure, but he was drinking his margarita. Margarita? Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah, big old frozen frou-frou drink with an umbrella in it. Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah. I think I ought to go through the homosexual and see what I can do. Yes.
Take care, Peter.
Some old Arts Walk music. I'll see you later.
Bye now. Bye. See you. No, Peter's right. There are days when you get to the end of it and it's like, enough. Self-medicate. Something. Help. Please. Doesn't have to be a margarita. It could be a daiquiri. It could be a Singapore sling. Eh, I kid. Pawn shops. Old people going to pawn shops. And the thing is, you know, I drive around here. The title loan companies always have cars in front of them. And they're not repoed cars. They're people that are going in there getting ready to lose their cars. And they're borrowing money to buy gasoline to put in the cars that they're going to lose. When the repo dude comes and takes the car, odds are it will have a half a tank of gas in it. This is a nation that's not praying. This is a nation that is being preyed upon by people who are telling them, pray louder, Christian, your God can't hear you. I'm sorry. Bob Kincaid, voice of doom. I don't mean for it to be that way. But we've got I mentioned it last night. One of the freaky ladies from Kansas who voted in favor of teaching criticism of evolution, and she was offended because somebody hung the flying. One of the teachers hung a picture of the flying spaghetti monster on his door, and went to the principal and demanded that be taken down because it was undignified. No, it's on point. The flying spaghetti monster account of creation is every bit as valid as the gossipy water moccasin account. There's science and there's not science. There's knowledge and there's belief. And right, you know, like I said, from the New York Times, I mentioned this earlier, the Food and Drug Administration said Thursday that, quote, no sound scientific studies supported the medical use of marijuana, contradicting a 1999 review by a panel of highly regarded scientists. Susan Bro, an agency spokeswoman, said that the statement resulted from a past combined review by federal drug enforcement regulatory and research agencies that concluded that smoked marijuana has no currently accepted or proven medical use in the United States and it is not an approved medical treatment. In a world that was run on tenets of not physics or not laws of nature, but was run, in fact, on laws of justice, Susan Bro would find out that smoked marijuana can be extremely efficacious in the relief of terminal pain. But God or flying spaghetti monster willing, she won't. And she'll just sit there and collect the salary that you and I pay for her to come out and just lie. CB asked earlier, what do you do first? How about, you know, I'm not going to get everybody to agree. How about we just stop the lying? I'll deal with you on a truth basis, Mr. Right-Wing Republican. And Mr. Right-Wing Republican, you have to deal with me on a truth basis. And that means you don't get to say crap like, oh, you know, the global warming movement is losing steam because, you see, there is no such thing as global warming, and I found a scientist who says so. Why don't we just start dealing in truth? That's a thought, isn't it? Something from Agnes. Yeah, how about just kick their asses out? And John tells me that in Australia, if he did the math on the conversion correctly, $7.07 for gasoline there. It's like Peter Falk says in The In-Laws. I don't know what I'm gonna do when a six pack of Budweiser costs $1,200. It'll be chaos. It'll be atonal music. It'll be Hitler. It'll be Germany before Hitler. Let's take a break. How about that, Agnes? I appreciate it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2-new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Please listen to me, Marvin Hamlisch. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Can you imagine a world without children? A world without their smiles or their laughter? A world where children don't play or sing or dream or imagine?
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, we can't imagine a world without children. That's why we're working every day to find cures for diseases that strike down children everywhere. Diseases like cancer, pediatric AIDS, and sickle cell. And we won't stop until every child is cured and every disease is defeated. Because we can't imagine a world without children. Can you?
Finding cures, saving children. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. To learn how you can help, call 1-800-931-0800 or log on to our website, stjude.org.
Head on, I'm Bob Kincaid. We're winding down for our Friday evening edition. An email just came in from our good friend Apostolos, or Apostolos, depending on how you like to pronounce the syllabification, in the chat room. It says, the Fox News release about the 33% approval rate of Bush. Fox will never publicize anything or run any kind of story without the approval of the upper echelons or the White House, Rove. Everything they say, report, or publish has a reason behind it, sometimes an almost subliminal message, but always with a purpose. An alternative motivation needs to be identified. We need to look for the reason behind them publishing the story about the poll they financed. Some possibilities may include the following. One, to show any future gains in popularity as a new trend, perhaps after an October surprise. Two, to help distance the GOP congressional candidates from Bush. This may have been the reason behind the really crazy port deal that they would know would not have the approval of even GOP supporters. Three, or to solidify his base and get his Christian base to vote in 2006 by showing them that the real threat of is the liberals. Make them fearful of the liberal communist homosexuals who may overthrow the godly one. It'd be interesting, Apostolos writes, to hear you and your listeners discuss the reasons for this report by Fox. I think you've probably hit on it with reason number three. Reason number three. That being to motivate the righteous base, because that's all that's left. The echo chamber is more echo than chamber right now. Because most of the stuff has been proven to be a bunch of blue smoke and mirror garbage. And, well, look, I had a brief exchange with our good friend Clyde from WD40.com, and he pointed out the fact that it's the refineries that are making the killing and doing the are making the killing, if I read the message correctly. And as I heard the stories of prices at the pumps rising, some of them today on the top of the hour radio newscasts were centered around the fact that there are gas stations, I guess maybe up east mostly. Well, there's some, and some in the South and Midwest, I believe, who simply have no gasoline. I'm sorry, we're out. We ain't got no gas. And they were quick to report, the network was, that these outages, these shortfalls in gasoline are being blamed on new refining techniques that were mandated by Congress, switching from the additive MTBE to ethanol. What's the subtle message? What's the backstory? Just like this business with Fox, what's the backstory on this? Why, look! We've got gas outages in America. Not because there's any gouging going on. No, hell no. Not because we've reached peak oil and we're going to see a lot more of this in the future. No, hell no. No, we had gas supply shortages reported on in the news today because of the liberals, them liberal environmentalist tree-hugging enviro-Nazis. Yeah, sure, it's our fault. But do you know what MTBE is? I'm sure you do. MTBE is an additive that is, it's particularly nefarious insofar as it gets into groundwater lickety-split. And it's poisonous, and it causes cancer, and it kills people.
And the big oil companies, well, they could have done this on their own, but no, it had to be legislated. And it was legislated at great cost to you and me and the rest of us and the people who are going to go out and get title loans so they can put gas in the cars that are going to get repoed, and then they won't be able to go to work at all. They'll lose their job, and yeah, too bad. After the unemployment runs out, well, you're not unemployed anymore in the eyes of the Bush administration. You're just off the rolls, so you're not part of that, you know, historically low unemployment numbers generated by the Bush administration. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I wasn't tuned into Flush long enough to find out that it was liberal environmentalists who were responsible for gas outages, but I'm sure it was there somewhere. And, yeah, sure, George Bush, it was 33%, but what I didn't catch was what the margin of error was, plus or minus 4%. Could be as low as 29% approval, 28% approval. It's like when the survey work was done with regard to George Bush among African Americans, and the margin of error was such that it was possible that he actually had negative 1% approval ratings among the African American population. That's where he is. So now, after whatever it is that's coming next happens, oh, he'll be tremendously popular. There are people, you must understand, there are people in the White House who look forward to things like 9/11, who see them as not national tragedies or national disasters, but national opportunities. I said something earlier about if we can finally get rid of these monsters, these fiends, if we can finally just do that, this time we finish the job. We don't make the mistakes that were made in running Nixon out of the White House. Because after all, why do we have Dick Cheney as a vice president? Well, never mind Florida 2000. We'll take that as read, okay? But why do we have Dick Cheney? We have Dick Cheney because Dick Cheney was not run out of politics when Richard Nixon was run out of politics. And Dick Cheney served, I mean, it was the old RCA thing with the puppy and the phone off of the phonograph, his master's voice. Dick Cheney learned at the knees of Satan himself, Richard Nixon. Dick Cheney has complained for years, years, years that presidential power was damaged by the attack on Richard Nixon. Donald Rumsfeld served as chief of staff to Gerald Ford. He also served as defense secretary. We did not finish the job with Richard Nixon, and that led to a 2006 in which Donald Rumsfeld stands up and giggles about killing people. I have high ideals for my party. And you and I are the ones who are responsible for the idea that this time we finish the job. This is because somewhere in the bowels of the Bush White House is some young, late 20-something, early 30-something conservative punk prodigy who thinks, well, if I can only survive the storm, we'll get it right next time. And we'll have even more power, and we'll be even richer. And this time, when we run these bloodthirsty killers out of office, indict them, impeach them, imprison them, send them to The Hague, whatever, we clean the house all the way down to the little conservative Cub Scout pack. Because when you don't, it comes back and it bites you. And its name is Cheney, and its name is Rumsfeld, and they have little protégés named Wolfowitz, and Armitage, and Pearl, they must be cleaned out from top to bottom. It's one of those Camelot kind of moments. You know, don't let it be forgot that once there was a spot where criminal endeavors... Oh, I can't finish the rhyme. But you get the idea. I think we should probably take a break and then come back and wrap up with a few little bits and pieces. This, of course, is Head On. And, you know, I think I'm getting the hang of this, not sitting there next to my lovely wife, because, you know, that's one of the things that makes the show pleasant to do. If you've got anything to get off your chest, burr, out from under your saddle, bee, out from under your bonnet. You got a few minutes left to do it in. 877, the number 4, Head On. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Disco. Couple Skate. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, and we're rolling down toward the end of tonight's edition. And, you know, by all means, let's end with some outrage. Yeah. Just because, well, you know, old people pawning wedding rings and engagement bands that they've worn for, you know, 30, 40 years to buy gasoline or little friskies or, you know, or maybe the heart medicine. Maybe it's the heart medicine. Or, you know, maybe it's that, $100,000 a year cancer medication that the copay is $20,000 for. Yeah, maybe that. You know, maybe that's just not enough for one night. This is a black Democratic lawmaker said Thursday that he has turned over an email that supports his lynching. Okay, bad journalism. We'll just go through this sentence and a black Democratic lawmaker said Thursday that he has turned over an email that supports his lynching to the state patrol for investigation. Okay, Chris Freights, thanks for trying. Back to journalism school. But I get the idea that Democratic Representative Terrence Carroll of Denver said the email was sent to him in response to a joke he made suggesting that the state build a wall around its borders to keep out the Minutemen, armed citizens who patrol the border between the U.S. and Mexico. They don't patrol diddly. They sit in, you've seen them. They sit in lawn chairs with high-powered rifles. Well, you got to lead them a little bit, Eustace. So this guy, Terrence Carroll, said that, well, you know, if it's up to me, I'd build a fence around Colorado to keep those freaks out. Here's what he got sent in response. Quote, you are, capital S-O-O-O, you are so lucky. Lynching and firing squad for treason aren't available punishments, comma, anymore, unquote, the email read. Quote, I'd vote you in a heartbeat. Carroll said the email sent Wednesday was, quote, not acceptable political discourse. Mr. Carroll, my friend, brother Democrat, I understand that you don't want to fly off the handle or anything, but saying that this is not acceptable political discourse does not get through to the stump licker bunch, because they still want to lynch you. And even and please understand, Mr. Carroll, Representative Carroll, even if you had not said what you wanted, what you said, that little joke about building a fence around Colorado, please, sir, understand that they still wanted to lynch you. Because they are white, and they are Republicans. And it is, in fact, what they damned well do. Lynchings and night riders are the good old days to these clowns. Killing and death are what they enjoy. Knowing the history of African Americans and lynching, this is very offensive to me and threatening, he said. You have to be worried when people use language like that. Are they capable of taking the next step? Now, a reporter sent an email to the email address that the sender had used. They got no request. They were not given an interview, but a response was later received from the same email address, and it read as follows. My letter was not meant to be threatening, comma, at all. My letter was not meant to be threatening at all. Walling up a state to keep out those who would protect us. Now that, all capitals, that you can call threatening. It may not have been the nicest letter ever written either, yet if the gentleman feels threatened, it would be only to himself it would seem. It should guilt play a part in his assessment of it. And the previous email, enjoy hell, yellow belly. It takes a patriotic man to represent his country, and sir, you are neither patriotic nor a man. You know how the Klansmen like to talk about mud people. Hell of a note. So, yeah, the support for Bush is down to about 33, maybe 29, maybe 27%, but that hard little cancerous knot is still there.
And these doofuses are so damn stupid. And then there was another press release. A fellow said, I'm going to send a message to President Bush. If he won't send people down here in the National Guard to build us a wall between America, the real America, mind you, and Mexico, then we's going to start bidding it ourselves. Hey, doofus, you voted for George Bush. I'm sorry, the National Guard is not available. Please try another war, or dial again later. Nah, doofus, the National Guard's busy dying in the war that you support on the other brown people that you hate. Do you see? Like I said, this time we finish the damn job, okay? Pretty please? I'm looking forward to Monday. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to Monday. I want to do 5 solid nights of uninterrupted talk radio. Conversation radio. I want to do 5 solid nights of uninterrupted conversation radio. No blackouts from thunderstorms and no, Bob screwing up the new remote. No, we're going to be there. I hope you'll join us because I do so love the conversation. The show tonight, of course, was masterfully, do you use that in regard to a girl? Was masterfully produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. Brian Reznor announces, our engineer is Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the stream of this and all the other programs you hear on the Head On Radio Network. He also archives all the programs as well as many other liberal talk programs. The show is our computer consultant, Godbold Computers, makes all the little buttons do all the things that the buttons need to do, and we are ever so grateful. And the show, of course, is brought to you every night by virtue of the thousands of members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream, and by supporting the growth of this fledgling network, they're trying to make sure that the American dream is there for their future. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.